Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got some callers on the phone lines here, 406-294-0970. If you got something you want to talk about, if you're just getting rolling with us here in the 7 o'clock hour of the show, man, crazy when you just roll the tape of all the crazy policies of Kamala Harris that they're now trying to whitewash, and the fake news media is just trying to ignore. All of the video footage where she is clearly on tape, radical gun control policies. She wants to ban fracking. She wants to get rid of your health insurance. I mean, we could go on and on and on, but let's go to Logan in Roundup on the phone lines. Logan, thanks for the call.
Hey, Aaron. Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing great.
Good. I kind of had this statement, just a few minutes ago, you had played a audio clip of cackling Kamala Harris talking about the buyback program for weapons. And this is where I think is a good example of how Democrats and the far left totally missed the mark. Her point was we want to give them value. We want to give them the money back they spent on it. I'm a huge Second Amendment guy, huge sportsman, and I think I can safely speak for most gun owners that money isn't the issue. I alone have spent a few thousand dollars on building an AR-15 myself. The issue is protecting my family, my loved ones, and innocent ones around me. And that, I think, what she just said is just a perfect example of how the radical left wing completely misses the mark, not just on this issue, but on damn near every issue that they bring up.
No, such a great point and a great line there about the cackling commie. but great point, though, on a serious note is like, okay, so they're saying, well, yeah, well, we're going to take your guns away, but we'll give you the value for that gun. So whether it's $550, whether it's $5,050 for the gun that they're going to take from you, well, we gave you the value for that. Really? Because if I can't defend, my family, what is the value of their lives in my life? No, you have not given me the value of that ability to be able to defend myself. You haven't given me the value of stripping away my Second Amendment rights.
Exactly, Aaron. That's exactly my point. The reason why I spend good money on good guns is because my life and my family's lives and the people around me and, the good citizens of this country, it's valueless. You can't put a price on a human life. And just for her to suggest that, oh, we'll give you the money back so you're not out any money, it's like, okay, great, thanks, but you're missing the point. I happily spent the money for a better value, which is me being able to wake up and see the sun and go to work and be a productive member of society.
That's right.
That's the value in it.
And how are you going to pay for it there with your cackling commie policies, right? We officially crossed the $35 trillion mark, I think I read yesterday, with $35 trillion in debt. Logan, great phone call. Great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in. Jim in Billings, stand by. We'll get to you right after this news and weather break right here on Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. There's a big inquiry now into the Secret Service and the assassination attempt to former President Trump. But the Inspector General's Office of the Department of Homeland Security is also expected to release a bruising report on the response of DHS to the riot at the Capitol. The report could cast light on a series of embarrassing security lapses for the agency. Secret Service falls under DHS. Questions have persisted about how the various law enforcement agencies protecting the Capitol on January 6th shared intelligence on the danger posed by a crowd of pro-Trump rioters who stormed the building. Before the violence broke out, Secret Service personnel learned that many Trump supporters chose not to attend a speech that President Trump gave on the Ellipse when they learned at security checkpoints that their weapons would be confiscated. The Secret Service also faced questions for deleting some text messages its agents sent in connection with the day of the attack. The agency claimed that those deletions resulted from a routine systems migration. Multiple people under Secret Service protection faced grave danger on January 6th, including Vice President Mike Pence. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With mainly sunny skies across the area for today, highs range from about 83 in Bozeman to 90 in the Billings area. For tonight, clear skies with low temperatures in the upper 50s and low 60s. And the outlook for Thursday does call for more sunshine. Temperatures head up to about 92 in Bozeman, with highs in the upper 90s expected in the Billings area for tomorrow. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Man, what a show on Tuesday's Montana Talks. Laura Loomer joined us for the full statewide hour, raising some of the questions that many in the Montana media, the newspapers, the TV stations, refuse to ask John Tester, plus reporting some information that you haven't heard anywhere else. That's what we delivered on Tuesday's Montana Talks. Coming up on Wednesday, best part of the show, when you get to be heard all across Montana. We'll have the phone lines open, barring any big breaking news. Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, got some messages on our Montana Talks app here. I opened up the 6 o'clock hour with squirrel. The squirrel, the distraction was I looked out the studio windows for a beautiful sunrise, and I was like, wow, the smoke has largely cleared. I'm seeing blue skies outside of our Montana Talks windows. And so, hey, what are you seeing in Butte? What are you seeing in Bozeman? What are you seeing elsewhere outside your window? A listener in Bozeman says, no smoke in Los Angeles. All right, although the good news is that's the good news for today, but apparently by Friday the smoke will roll back in, according to the National Weather Service office. Let's see. Jay in Billings says this: Kamala Harris being tough on the border is a mirror of Alejandro Mayorkas for 2 years repeating a lie. The border is secure. This is all media fairyland. That's what Jay in Billings had to say on our Montana Talks app. Let's go to Jim in Billings on the phone lines. Jim, what's on your mind?
Hey, good morning. This is going to be really quick. I was just thinking the reason Harris doesn't know who her VP is going to be yet is because they haven't told her who her VP is going to be. People sell themselves to be part of the machine, but they lose their self-will, and they just got to do what they're told to do. Just like all these media people say the same thing. It's like they're parrots or something.
Totally.
They're not in control. They're not in control. So it's like she's waiting to find out what she's supposed to do.
Yeah, possibly, yeah. But what you said about the parroting media, I think between CNN and MSNBC, in 24 hours, 150 different times, they all parroted out the same talking point. They were trying to describe J.D. Vance as weird. These are the people who push drag queen story hour for kids. They want to chop off body parts off of kids. They mock the Last Supper and then defend it at the Olympics. But they want to call J.D. Vance weird. And yeah, you could just tell the talking points went out and they just copy and paste whatever they're told to say.
Yes, sir.
All right, Jim. Well, Jim, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. 406-294-0970. If you got something you want to talk about here on Montana Talks, definitely want to get to this Secret Service hearing that took place yesterday on Capitol Hill as well. Dennis in Bozeman sent us a message. Let's see, where did I put it here? I just had it in front of me, and then I took that phone call. Anyway, Dennis and Bozeman said something to the effect of, hey, these members of Congress, they need to lean on Dan Bongino when they're questioning these Secret Service officials as they come to Capitol Hill. You know, these lawmakers in Congress need to lean on Dan Bongino. Oh, I bet they are. I'll bet you if they're not talking with him personally, I'm sure they're listening. They've been listening to his show. Dan Bongino, who comes on the radio right after Montana Talks, and Billings and Bozeman in particular. I think Clay and Buck is on in Butte. But
Anyway, yeah, he's a former Secret Service agent, so he's been laying it out. Listen to Ted Cruz and the back and forth with the now acting Secret Service director.
And who makes the decision to deny those requests? Did you make that decision?
Which requests? Are you talking about the ones that were in the Washington Post?
Yes.
The process, sir, is that will make a request for either staffing, technical assets, that is handled between the field office and the detail. It goes up to a logistics office between
our offices. Okay, so there's a bureaucracy. Is there a decision maker?
It's not a bureaucracy, Senator.
Give me the person that's a decision maker. Is there one?
Senator, it's a conversation. It's not just an absolute yes or no.
So let me tell you what I believe. I believe that the Secret Service leadership made a political decision to deny these requests. And I think the Biden administration has been suffused with partisan politics. Did the same person who denied the request for additional security to President Trump also repeatedly deny the request for security to Robert F. Kennedy Jr., whose father was murdered by an assassin and whose uncle was murdered by an assassin? Did the same person make that decision?
Senator, what I will tell you is that Secret Service agents are not political.
Okay, you're not answering my question. But you know what? Leadership appointed by the president is political. I have a simple question, yes or no. Did the same person deny the Trump request that also denied the RFK request? That's a yes or no question.
Senator, that is not a yes or no question. One, there is a process for a candidate nominee to receive protection.
Is it a bicameral bipartisan process? What camera?
For a candidate,
you are not a Congress. You don't have a camera.
Mr. Kennedy submitted a request that was referred over to the CPAC.
Okay, you're refusing to answer the question. Let me ask, because the failures on that day were catastrophic. By the way, is it true that on the day of the Butler event, that Secret Service transferred an agent from President Trump to the First Lady?
All right, anyway, this guy just refuses to answer any questions whatsoever. Absolutely pathetic. I believe that was the acting Secret Service director, Ronald Rowe. And if you were listening to Dan Bongino, he told you, okay, so when Cheadle stepped down, this guy took over. He said he's probably worse than she was. And this goes back to the phone call that we just got a few minutes ago from Logan in Roundup. They want to take, Kamala Harris and John Tester want to take your guns away so you can't defend yourselves. So I guess you're just supposed to wait for the government to protect you and your family. The government couldn't even protect a president of the United States. But you think the government's going to help you after Kamala and Tester take your guns away?
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
A major development in meatpacking news as National Beef Company has settled its ongoing wage-fixing lawsuit, according to a federal court notice this week. The lawsuit alleges that several food companies conducted secret compensation surveys and meetings to depress and fix employee wages. While the exact terms of the settlement remain undisclosed, the notice filed in the U.S. District Court for the District of Colorado indicates that the settlement is pending court approval. National Beef's agreement follows American Food Group's $4 million settlement in June, where the company denied any wrongdoing. The lawsuit, which dates back to at least 2014, accuses companies of conspiring to fix wages for employees at around 140 red meat processing plants nationwide, violating the Sherman Antitrust Act. The companies involved produce approximately 80% of the red meat sold in the United States. As the court reviews 9 motions to dismiss from other companies, 7 more, including Cargill and Hormel, have yet to announce settlements. The lawsuit highlights secret meetings and no-poach agreements that allegedly prevented competitive hiring practices impacting workers' wages across the industry. That's a look at your news. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, got a message from Kelly in Glasgow on our Montana Talks app. You know, we're on the radio right now. Billings area, 970 KVUL, Bozeman area, 1450 KMMS, Livingston area, 1340 KPRK, Southwest Montana's news talk leader, KXTL Butte, 1370 KXTL. Anyway, but Kelly, listening in on our Montana Talks app, we got so many great listeners across the state, even in the early morning hours of the show through our app. Kelly says this: not that we're just going to sell our guns to the cackler, but the scenario is, well, what if we did? Another $2 trillion in debt? Great question, Kelly. Yeah, we officially crossed the $35 trillion debt mark yesterday. And remember, Liberal Senator John Tester, this phony, he campaigned in 2006 against the national debt. It was only $6 trillion back then. He's added nearly $30 trillion to our national debt. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. Let's go to Robert in Belgrade next up on the phone lines. Robert, what's going on?
Well, the Secret Service deal, the head of it, they let her resign. That's BS. They should have kept her in the hot seat, made her answer the questions, and then fired her instead of letting her resign so she could get her pension for the rest of her life that we pay for. Nobody has any accountability, like you talked about the other day. Your show, nobody has any accountability. Another guy that didn't testify, retired Secret Service guy, said that the top five people should all be fired. But then again, nobody has any accountability. So that's pretty much my rant for the day.
Yeah, bloated government. This was interesting. The Disney family, Robert, thanks for the call. The Disney family in Libby, there should be a top-down overhaul, right? But no, instead, number two gets put in the number one seat, and he sounds worse than the lady who was in the number one seat, refusing to answer basic questions by Texas Senator Ted Cruz. Now, Cruz went on. Let me play a little bit more of this Cruz back and forth here. So Ted Cruz went on, and he was saying, how many people are there protecting Joe Biden compared to how many people are protecting Donald J. Trump? Donald J. Trump is probably the most threatened man in the world. You don't think China would love to see Trump fall? You don't think Iran would love, you don't think Russia would love to see Trump fall? They don't want America to be in a position of strength again. I mean, as Trump pointed out in this soundbite that you heard at the top of the hour, that you likely heard at the top of the hour, Iran, Russia, China, they all would love to have Kamala Harris as the president of the United States.
I think they'll walk all over. She'll be so easy for them. She'll be like a play toy. They look at her and they say, we can't believe we got so lucky. They're going to walk all over her. And I don't want to say as to why, but a lot of people understand it.
Yeah, anyway, so you know, this question, though, that Ted Cruz asks, which is, okay, how many people are protecting Joe Biden compared to how many people are protecting Donald Trump? Now, we get it. There's a difference between being the sitting president and being a former president and now a presidential candidate once again. And I also would understand if this acting Secret Service director would say, well, look, here in an open setting, you know, Senator, I'll get with you offline in a more classified setting to give you specific numbers. I would understand if he gave that response, but he didn't even want to give that response.
No, sir, that's not true.
That's been widely reported.
It's not true. There was one airport agent that actually went on the manpower request for the Trump detail. They handled the arrival at the airport.
What was the relative size of the Trump detail compared to the detail that is assigned to the president of the first lady?
Senator, the former president travels with a full shift, just like the president.
What's the so the exact same size? Is that your testimony that President Trump had the same size detail that President Biden has?
On the day of in Butler, the agents surrounding him, it is the same number of agents surrounding the president today. There is a difference between a sitting president who also not only...
Hold on. You're using president in a way that is not clear. Is it your testimony that in Butler, Pennsylvania, Donald Trump had the same number of agents protecting him that Joe Biden has at a comparable event?
I'm telling you the shift, the close protection shift surrounding.
That's what you asked me,
Senator, and I'm trying to answer it.
You are not answering it. Is it the same number of agents or not?
Senator, there is a difference between the sitting president of the United States.
Then what's the difference?
The difference?
2X, 3X, 5X,
National
10X?
Command Authority to launch a nuclear strike, sir.
I'm not asking.
How
many more
travel
agents?
With the president that
sir,
the former president
sir,
will
you
not
are refusing
get.
To
but
answer
the number
straight.
Of Secret Service
sir,
agents
stop
protecting
stop
him.
Stop
yeah, the fact is they failed to protect the most threatened man in the world. They failed to protect a president of the United States of America. And now this arrogant federal bureaucrat refuses to answer any questions about it. They just sit here and laugh at you. They laugh at your elected representatives because they believe they can get away with it. Back in 60 seconds.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. The political leader of the militant group Hamas is assassinated in an airstrike in Iran. Fox's Trey Yinks.
This has major implications for the possibility of a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas as the war rages on inside Gaza. Qatari Prime Minister asking how can mediation succeed when one party assassinates the negotiator on the other side.
An Israeli government spokesman says no comment. Hours earlier, a Hezbollah commander was killed in a drone strike in Beirut, Lebanon. Former President Trump takes questions today at a National Association of Black Journalists convention. The convention's co-chair resigned.
Washington Post columnist Karen Etia stepping down one day before Trump was set to speak to the group in Chicago. Etia posting on X that she was not involved with or consulted with in any way to, quote, platform Trump in such a format.
Fox's Sue Guzman is also at Trump rally in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania later today. America's listening to Fox News.
Oh, did you hear that news update there? The Qataris. How can negotiations proceed if one side is assassinating leaders of the other side? Now, that's what you call tough negotiations. That's what you call very good negotiating posture there. Very successful negotiating postures. How can one side succeed? They are still holding not only Israelis hostage in the Gaza Strip, these Hamas terrorists, they're still holding Americans hostage. Not only that, but this Hani, who the Israelis took out on Iranian soil. Oh, sorry, Hani. I guess they knew where you were. Oh, sorry, Hani. I guess they took you out, huh? Didn't they, Hani? The news report that I heard earlier is that one of these terrorists that were thankfully killed by the Israelis had killed Americans in Beirut back in the freaking 1980s. Thanks to the Israelis for finally taking care of business, what, 40 years later? Thanks to that. And by the way, Israel is like the size of New Jersey. We have counties in eastern Montana that are larger than the state of New Jersey. Think about it. This tiny little nation that's smaller than one of our 56 counties is taking care of business in ridding the planet of these terrorist leaders. And thanks to them for doing so, by the way. And they don't need any more lectures from the liberal media in America or from you know, Kamala Harris or Joe Biden. How dare they lecture the Israelis? And why are they so afraid to lecture the Iranians in the horrific way they treat their own women and what they did to our own American troops going back to the 1980s, but in particular in the war on terror since 9/11? That message I mentioned, you know, the Secret Service. Here's Kamala Harris wants to take away your guns, and yet you know, the government couldn't even protect the president of the United States who got shot. Thankfully, President Trump is a survivor, and he survived. But they couldn't even protect a president. Think about how big our government. Think about how bloated our federal government is. And that they couldn't even protect a president of the United States. The Disney family sent me a message here where, you know, we were talking about how just the bureaucracy needs to be cleaned out. Private sector job openings plunge, but growth in government hires increase. More bloated government. While private sector job openings plunged to a level seen back in late 2018, government job openings are just shy of a record high. They want to grow government even further. And think about it. We are now more than $35 trillion in debt. We just crossed that threshold. John Tester was like, you know, carrying Kamala across the threshold as you know, he is responsible for $30 trillion of that in his tenure alone. Well, about $29 trillion, to be more precise.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, I'm just laughing during the break here. Have you guys heard this, the latest stupid ad from John Tester's out-of-state cronies that are funding his campaign? Yeah, hello. I got to ask John Jackson if he's heard this ad yet, because it's exactly what we told you was coming. It's the old prospector ad. They think you are stupid. They think you are so stupid that you will fall for their stupid campaign commercials. Throwing a little cow noise there. Well, John Tester, blah, blah, blah. Oh, give me a break. They literally, it's like, you know, Kamala Harris yesterday sounded like Hillary Clinton. Kamala Harris is from California. She's a left coast liberal. But she shows up in Georgia, all of a sudden she's got a southern accent. Hey, y'all. It's like Hillary Clinton, when Hillary Clinton would show up at a black church and all of a sudden she's got that fake, phony accent. And now Kamala's doing the same thing. And anyway, and these stupid John Tester campaign commercials, I mean, well, John Tester, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you know, it raises a question. So Chuck Schumer, who is funding all of these, John Tester campaign commercials practically, he says, Tim Sheehy's not a real cowboy. You know, I would love, how many cows... I know this is an impolite question to ask normally, but since they're both running for the United States Senate, how many cows does John Tester own? And how many cows does Tim Sheehy own? Let's see. Not only does Tim Sheehy own cows and a cattle ranch, but I saw a great campaign commercial for Tim Sheehy by Turk Stovall. Great guy. Great rancher here in Montana, great family, goes back several generations, and they partner together on a feedlot out in Shepherd, right? So not only does he own cows and a ranch and help run that ranch, but he's also part of this feedlot deal with the Turk Stovall too, and they're putting farm to table or ranch to table, if you want, you know, putting that beef also on plates across Montana. John Tester isn't doing that. How many cows does John Tester own? He claims to be such an expert on who a cowboy is and who a cowboy isn't. And if John Tester wants to tell you who real cowboys are and who real cowboys aren't, I've got a sign here in my studio. Big sign. You'll see this same sign if you drive across central Montana. Save the Cowboys. Stop American Prairie Reserve. John Tester put an anti-cowboy, eco-terrorist extremist who supports the APR, who's giving special perks to the APR, Tracy Stone Manning, to head the Bureau of Land Management. That's why we just, like, but they think you are stupid enough to fall for the, well, if you just run up the old creek bed, and they think you are stupid enough to fall for these phony campaign commercials for this radically leftist John Tester. Let's go to Steve in Ballantyne. Steve, what's going on?
Morning, Aaron.
Morning.
Well, you know, they're wanting to buy back the guns and that kind of stuff. But my question is, no one ever says any, you don't ever hear about it. But our national debt, you know, other countries apparently buying U.S. bonds and whatever. What is up for collateral? You just don't go to a bank and borrow money without putting something up for collateral. So if we're getting money from other countries, what are we putting up for collateral?
Yeah, great question, because we did officially cross that $35 trillion debt mark yesterday.
Yeah, no, if other countries are basically loaning money to the United States of America, what's the papers? I mean, what are they going to eventually come back with? And if they buy back guns and we can't protect ourselves, I mean, what is up for collateral?
Well, and why is John Tester shutting down American oil and gas, trying to shut down American cattle ranchers? If we're so, in debt right now, we should be doing everything we can to raise more money in America and open up the spigots even further. And why is it that the Republican supermajority in the state legislature and a bill signed into law by Montana Governor Greg Gianforte, why is it that they were able to pass a ban on China owning farmland in America, but John Tester hasn't gotten that done, right? And why is it that John Tester claimed to be against TikTok, but then he flip-flopped on TikTok after he started getting a whole bunch of campaign contributions from the Chinese-owned companies, from TikTok and others? Or actually, maybe the campaign contributions came in after his flip-flop. Got to be accurate on the timeline there. Either way, he flip-flopped on TikTok, starts getting a bunch of money from TikTok and these Chinese-owned companies. Selling out America. That's what John Tester has been doing. You're not going to hear that in, well, if you just run up the old creek bed, these old prospector campaign commercials. Let's go to Willie in the Paradise Valley. Willie, what's going on?
Yeah, I got to lighten it up a little. You know, I grew up around an old cowboy, and he had a good saying, because they keep talking about Tim Sheehy not being a cowboy or what, but I feel sorry for the horse that they could load old John up on, because like the old guy used to say, the horse wished he hadn't have been born that day. So I always liked that saying.
I felt bad for the horses I had to ride on, because it's the horse would look at me like, oh, great, here we go. It's a hot day out, and I got to carry this guy around. And John Tester, somebody described him up in the Flathead. They said he's 350 pounds of bull, you know what, Adam Schiff. 350 pounds of BS. And I don't know if you heard it yesterday. Gary in Billings says, well, maybe you can introduce him to Billings' last diet. And I said, yeah, but even if we dropped him down to 160, he'd still be 160 pounds of BS.
Well, there you go. Exactly.
And again, I'm not making fun of his weight, Willie. I think actually the fact that he's a bigger guy has historically been an endearing thing to some people about him. Oh, look at me and my missing fingers. He literally shoved his own hand into a meat grinder, and that was his selling point. And a lot of people found that endearing. It's the fact that he's a Washington fat cat living high on the hog back in D.C. while the rest of the folks back here suffer from his inflationary policies. That's where the problem is, if you ask me.
No, exactly. But one of these days I'm going to get to one of your live deals. I got a story to tell you about him. I won't tell you over the air, but it's all about when he said he was about farting around. Well, there's a good story I got to tell you about him. So
I don't know if I want to hear that one. all right. No, actually, I do want to hear that one. Well, hey, later, man, can you believe it's already going to be August? It's going to be August 1st tomorrow. Later August, we are going to be doing a live show from Livingston. I don't know if we've picked a location yet, but
perfect.
Yeah, I'll be the MC for the Park County Lincoln Reagan dinner. Looking forward to that, seeing our friends Deborah Lamb and others. And so, hey, why not stick around for a live show the next morning, right?
Yep, that sounds like a good one.
Yeah, that'll be a great time. All right, Willie, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Nancy in Roundup, what's going on?
Good morning, Montana Talks. I want to talk a little bit about this open border and illegal guns being brought into our country that Kamala Harris has refused to acknowledge or even discuss. And I just want to say that the news out of New York City is very grim. Venezuelan gang members have declared open fire and open range on every New York City cop walking. They have given the green light to murder every New York City police officer. This could happen to us nationwide, and I want to discuss a little bit about the Caracas, Venezuela election Sunday. Apparently, according to the opposition leaders, it was Edmundo Gonzalez who won the election, but this dictator Nicolas Maduro refuses to leave the capital, and he is beginning to murder and starve Venezuelan people. This means we're going to have another onslaught of illegal immigrants from Venezuela that we cannot possibly find a home for or feed. This is very bad news for us, and if Kamala Harris gets in to the White House, I don't know, it could be the end of the United States, but whatever you do, do not give up your weapons. Never, never, never give up your self-defense. Never.
Yeah, well said. No, I'm glad you brought up the topic of Venezuela, because Nancy is spot on with that report about how the Venezuelan gangs are declaring open war on our cops. I'll tell you more about that story coming up right after this. Thanks for the call, Nancy.
Ryan Reynolds here for, I guess, my 100th Mint commercial. No. I mean, honestly, when I started this, I thought I only have to do like 4 of these. I mean, it's unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month. How are there still people paying 2 or 3 times that much? I'm sorry, I shouldn't be victim blaming here. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/save whenever you're ready.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
Fox News commentary.
Southwest Airlines is bidding farewell to open seating, and I don't know how to feel about it. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
I'm Emily Campagno, host of the Fox True Crime Podcast. On June 27th, 2000, 16-year-old Molly Bish disappeared while working as a lifeguard in Warren, Massachusetts. 3 years later, her remains were found just 5 miles away from where she was last seen. This week, I'm joined by Molly's older sister, Heather Bish, as she discusses where her case stands today, as well as her victim advocacy work for other families experiencing similar tragedies. Available now on Apple, Spotify, and FoxNewsPodcast.com.
Flight in general these days is rather nightmarish. If you're lucky enough not to be delayed or canceled, you may still fear parts of your aircraft could just up and fall off. And now a new controversy for air travel. Southwest Airlines is getting rid of its signature open seating policy in 2025. After 57 years, the tradition will end. Southwest cites customer attitudes as reason to make this change, saying feedback suggests 80 to 86% of travelers want to know where they're sitting beforehand. As a frequent Southwest customer, I have a love-hate relationship with open seating, mostly due to other customers who attempt to circumvent the boarding group, save seats, or pre-board for some unknown excuse. But what I'm really worried about is this change could lead to more delays and chaos, given this Southwest model was created to speed things up and allow for more flexibility. I'm skeptical, but as long as you keep offering 2 free bags, I'm in. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Some incredible economic stories began to unfold in the late 1980s in Europe, Asia, and here in the U.S. All over the world, in fact, the two Germanys became one. U.S. companies invested in Russia. The Chinese economy began its meteoric climb. Inflation faded and growth quickened. And trade in just about everything, ideas, products, and something called software, flourished. If the rhetoric of political campaigns is to be believed, that era is over. One candidate promises to impose tariffs on virtually everything. The current administration uses borrowed money to subsidize building things like battery and chip factories here to wean us away from imports. And no one, it seems, is saying anything positive about Chinese electric vehicles. Those actions might gain applause, especially in swing states candidates are trying to win. The working assumption of those who advocate the reversal of trade's prominence is that we can continue to grow as before. That assumption may turn out to be disastrously wrong. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by
Prior Sales. See dealer for complete details.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas, home of the only saltwater hot tub in Montana studios.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We got some messages that have come in on our Montana Talks app. Sorry, we're a little late getting to some of these here. John and Bozeman, $3.1 billion. Apparently, that's how much the Secret Service received for FY 2024. So So the Secret Service has gotten, that's for FY 2024, but it's only a $265 million increase from FY 2023. So what you're telling me, John, is the Secret Service has about $3 billion in their budget and couldn't protect President Trump. Or at least, anyway. Bob in Columbus says this. You keep talking about how bad Tester is, and I agree. But then I keep hearing these ads for him. Yeah, Bob, we have to play those. It's federal law that those ads have to be played. But I understand how obnoxious they can be, especially when John Tester straight up lies in his commercials. Bob in Lewistown, this is our tax money. The Justice Department has agreed to pay $1.2 million to settle privacy invasion claims from Peter Strzok. Boy, that sure worked out well for the Biden-Harris Justice Department. Peter Strzok should be behind bars for what he did in this coup against Donald J. Trump. He was that corrupt FBI official. Oh, instead, he's getting $1.2 million of your taxpayer dollars. So typical. So typical, isn't it? Let's see. Back to what Nancy in Roundup shared with us. I first heard about this story from actually a friend from Glasgow, Montana back in the day. Misty, I think, now lives down in Colorado, but shared this via Twitter, via X. I am praying for law enforcement. This is truly scary. She shared a tweet from Chuck Colesto, a New York Post story. Homeland Security memo reveals that the Venezuelan gang Tren de Aragua has given a green light to their members to shoot American cops. Here's the Fox News Radio report.
A warning from the Colorado Information Analysis Center being shared with Fox News, which says the members of the street gang are being, quote, encouraged to attack police officers in Denver. The gang was started nearly 20 years ago in a prison in Venezuela's Aragua state. Federal authorities say the gang has been trying to establish itself in the U.S. for the past few years with a focus on human trafficking, theft, drug smuggling, and more. U.S. Border Patrol only began tracking the group last year, but it's already recorded catching 70 of its members trying to enter the country. Brooke Singman, Fox News.
How many Venezuelan gang members are in Montana right now because of John Tester's open borders policies? Denver is only about a 7 or 8 hour drive away from some of our listeners right now. So if they're threatening cops in Denver, you know that that threat very well is already here in Montana as well. Absolutely. All right. Now, back to another story. Some people are suggesting that Nicolai Maduro down in Venezuela is in trouble because of this fraudulent election where he declared himself the winner. Residents of Venezuela toppling a statue of Hugo Chavez, that socialist. Yeah. So think about it. Think about all of the people that have fled Venezuela. Lots of criminals, lots of criminal gang members like Tren de Aragua. But there were likely some good people that also fled Venezuela in the past few years. If Nicolai Maduro is actually in trouble with the people and the people are prepared to topple Nicolai Maduro and make Venezuela great again, if all the good people also left Venezuela, well, this is my point, is what if even the good people from Venezuela were still in Venezuela there to assist the other good people of Venezuela? They'd have reinforcements to make Venezuela great again. But no, when we just open up our border and take even the good guys in, well, who is left behind to save their country, to stand up for their country? Man, what a show on Tuesday's Montana Talks. Laura Loomer joined us for the full statewide hour, raising some of the questions that many in the Montana media, the newspapers, the TV stations, refuse to ask John Tester, plus reporting some information that you haven't heard anywhere else. That's what we delivered on Tuesday's Montana Talks. Coming up on Wednesday, best part of the show, when you get to be heard all across Montana. We'll have the phone lines open, barring any big breaking news. Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10.